Well, you're not going to hear me do extensive coverage of this, but yeah, this song, of course, Taylor Swift, new album came out last night at midnight. I was not one of the ones staying up late to listen to the release of the album called Life of a Showgirl, but I know for many, it was a big deal. It is a big deal. Yeah, Taylor Swift's new album, talk amongst some people. There's no doubt about that this morning. Where I wanted to go, Jamie Nye joined us right off the start of the show, host of our Green Zone. By the way, green and white prognostications coming up at the end of the show. I asked Jamie his thoughts. Who's winning this Rider game today in Ottawa? Jamie says 24-20 for the Riders. I've got a much more decisive win. I'm saying 31-14. I think this is it. I think the Riders are stepping into this game in a big way. I expect to see. I mean, we've got Schaefer Baker back, which is great to see. That's going to help. Harris is feeling better. That shoulder eased up a little bit. We got a new kicker, Campbell Fair. I'm excited about this game. I think we can do it. So I'm going with a 31-14. But you have a chance to play along, of course. Green and white prognostications coming up at the end of the show at 12 o'clock today. A few people have been weighing in on the text line. This wasn't necessarily what I planned on talking about during open lines, but I did throw it out to you. We know that through Ticketmaster, the New York Yankees have limited the sale of the home games against the Toronto Blue Jays to people that are basically either in the state of New York or one of the three surrounding states. So if you're Canadian and you purchase a ticket through Ticketmaster, you're automatically going to have it canceled and your money refunded. You can't do it. Now, the Blue Jays have done this as well to try and give Canadian fans the first crack at Blue Jays tickets. And I understand it. I know I got a text from Deb saying, you know what, Evan, I like this. It gives fans a better chance to see their team. It creates, I would say, a better atmosphere for home games and the home team. I don't know. There's something about this that I just don't love the idea of. It's happened in other sports as well. The Florida Panthers did it back when the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Panthers were facing each other in the NHL playoffs a couple of years ago. They limited whether or not Canadians could buy tickets to the game. I just feel like it's a slippery slope, and I don't like what it does. To me, a big part of you've got the game on the field, but then you've got the atmosphere in the stands. And I like sitting in the Rider stands with a Calgary Stampeder fan in my section, right? Someone who's wearing a Stamps jersey. That makes for some good-natured jesting between people. You know, sometimes maybe not quite as good-natured. I get that. But at the end of the day, I'm curious to hear your thoughts. 1-877-332-8255. Jason in Swift Current said, you know, the Moose Jaw Warriors did this to the Swift Current Broncos during the second round of the playoffs in 24. They had ticket sales by walk-up only for the first wave, and then they opened it up online days later. I hated it, but Swift Current did the same thing shortly after. With the price of tickets for Jays games in Toronto, if the Jays fans want to go, they'll find a way to get there, said Jason. I got a text here from Cameron as well, and Regina saying, limiting ticket sales to non-local fans is very short-sighted. Traveling fans spend way more on the local economy and are probably more likely to buy team merch as well. That's part of my point, is if you're traveling there, you're using hotels, you're using restaurants. There's a lot more that comes to this for the home team, for their economy. And it just seems, I don't know. I don't like it. I get it. Some people are saying, why not? Let's give first crack to Canadians. I want to be able to buy Blue Jays tickets, and if I have to compete with, sometimes it's not just fans, a couple of people pointing out on the line, you get some of these, you know, resellers, the people that will buy big blocks of tickets and then pump up the price and try and resell them on the market afterwards. So, I mean, fair point there. Maybe there's a way you can limit the number of tickets that you're buying. So you're not getting people buying 200 tickets and then reselling them for a profit. 1-877-332-8255. You want to weigh in on that? I'm happy to hear your thoughts. Rob says the fact the Yankees are doing this is because they're scared. I was thinking of going, but work got in the way. I'm assuming Ticketmaster resells don't have the same restriction. No, I don't think they do. Jay in Saskatoon says, you agree with me 100%. Thanks, Jay. Doesn't happen every day, but I appreciate it. Not allowing fans, visiting fans to the stadium, it's not right. However, this is something they do in soccer, where they have a very small visitor section and they sell those tickets to visiting fans. Maybe this is the way it's going to go. Okay, well, phone lines are open for this hour, so if you want to text in, if you want to phone in, 1-877-332-8255. I am happy to hear your thoughts on that. The other topic that I want to talk about is pipelines. I broached this yesterday, but honestly, in an hour of open lines yesterday, we were so overrun with ostrich talk. I'll take phrases I never thought I'd say for 200, Alex. We spent an hour talking about ostriches yesterday. Still shaking my head on that, but I'm not dragging us back there today. Let's talk pipelines. Danielle Smith this week, and I like this move. I like this move by the Alberta government. Danielle Smith says, you know what? We're going to spend a little bit of money to kickstart an oil line.
We are announcing that the government of Alberta will be the proponent of an oil pipeline to the Northwest BC coast with the support and technical advice of three major pipeline companies, including Southbow, Enbridge, and Trans Mountain. Our government will make a formal application to the Federal Project Office under the Building Canada Act. Today, we are beginning the engagement process with Indigenous groups across Alberta and British Columbia to ensure that they can be part of this nation-building effort. That conversation must begin with Indigenous engagement, not as a checkbox, but as a foundation for relationship building, trust, and shared leadership. This will lay the groundwork for full and thorough consultation as this project meets regulatory milestones.
So, I mean, this is just the trend that we've seen lately where, and maybe you could say the Prime Minister has set the table for this, because he basically went to the provinces and said, give me your project ideas. Well, what's happening now is provinces are jockeying to make sure their ideas are on the top of the list. And Scott Moe, of course, we've heard loudly from the provincial government here in Saskatchewan what they would like to see. We know an oil pipeline is on that list as well, but Scott Moe recently set the trip to China to try and find a way to build a relationship to get the Chinese tariffs off egg products. He took the bull by the horns in that case. That is what Danielle Smith is doing here. I like it. I think it's good. It's from a political standpoint. Now she's hit the ball back to Mark Carney. What's he going to do about it? Cal and Oxbow, what do you think?
Good morning, Evan. Well, I think it's a great move because I think it's going to expose the Liberals for their desire to crush the oil industry way more than they're interested in nation building. And I don't think they're in the business of growing Canada. I mean, our crisis isn't tariffs. It's definitely the Liberals. Look, Carney is a managerial elitist. Like, he wants to push these net zeros and all these other things that are strangleholds. And he's going down to the U.S. to make a deal, but why make a deal? It's so much easier to continue to blame tariffs and Trump and all of these other things on our economic problems, and he can continue to stonewall the oil and gas industry. So I think this will expose them for what they really are. And I was going to say that I don't know if people have heard of this Desiree Fixler, but she's a graduate of the London School of Economics, and she ran in these globalist circles. And she had senior positions with J.P. Morgan and other things. And she's now blowing the whistle on the hypocrisy of these things. And she quoted saying that, you know, all that people like Carney is interested in his autocratic power. So I'm hoping that this really shows Canada what Carney is all about, because I don't think he's going to go along with what she's pushing for.
You know, when I had Brian Zinchuk on the show the other day, I said to Brian, is it possible that you could have a pipeline built without regulation change? And I mean, maybe I could be accused of asking a rhetorical question there, because I don't know how you can. Because for a pipeline to get built, there has to be an incentive for private investment. And if there isn't regulation change, then there's no incentive. You might have heard Enbridge CEO Greg Ebel was just on PowerPlay just last night talking about this. And he basically said that we're standing in front of ourselves in this country.
Absolutely. I mean, we have supplies of, you pick it, from uranium to natural gas to oil to gold. I mean, we have everything set up. The only thing that's stopping us is ourselves.
So So the conditions, essentially, is where he's going, are not set.
I don't think you have to look too far to see concrete, real examples of Enbridge and other pipelines being willing to be the proponent of a pipeline if the conditions are set. Mm-hmm. Capital will go to where the conditions are set. And today, the conditions are not set for that pipeline to exist in Canada.
So Danielle Smith was on that when she made the announcement the other day. She talked about the fact there's need for regulation change. I thought she laid it out beautifully, but at the end, if you listen carefully, she's still giving Mark Carney the benefit of the doubt that they have the ability, they have the understanding, and they might be able to work together to this common goal.
But to realize this potential, the federal government must make meaningful and substantive reforms to Canada's regulatory environment to revive investor certainty. The simple fact is that you will not see companies sink billions of dollars into new major projects unless the federal government overturns or overhauls its Trudeau-era anti-resource development policies. And that includes the oil and gas emissions cap, which we know is a production cap, Bill C-69, the No More Pipelines Law, and the tanker ban, which have made investment in new oil and gas projects extremely difficult. And this is what we've heard from industry and potential investors. They will not invest in a new pipeline with these bad laws and regulations in place. You can't build a pipeline to the Northwest Coast and still have a tanker ban. You cannot have an emissions cap that is so aggressive that companies would have to shut in operations in order to achieve it. And you can't have enthusiasm to export natural gas and win the AI data war and then have punitive policies against using natural gas on Alberta's electricity grid. Now, I've made this case abundantly clear to the Prime Minister. And what I can tell you is this, that I am more optimistic now than I have ever been over that the concerns of Albertans are finally being heard.
So I've got a text from Rodney that says, I'm trying to decide if this is a legitimate effort by Danielle Smith to build a pipeline or a political test by Danielle Smith for Mark Carney. I think it's both. I think she, obviously, she genuinely wants to build or incentivize the investment and build a pipeline. But she also is putting Mark Carney in the corner to say, what do you say here? Are we getting rid of, are we stripping these handcuffing regulations on the oil and gas industry, or are we going to continue on the ideological path that is likely going to prohibit any sort of investment in this infrastructure build in our country? 1-877-332-8255. I would love to hear from you on this. Are we going to get this pipeline done? Has Danielle Smith made the right move? Is Mark Carney going to strip the regulations back? Your thoughts when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I say thank you for the lovely bouquet. I'm married to the hustle and now. So I threw out a bunch of questions. I said I like the move by Premier Danielle Smith from Alberta. They're throwing in $14 million of seed money. Get through the first steps, the sometimes clunky and clumsy steps of getting a project like a pipeline started. So the regulation stuff that they can take care of with that $14 million, they will. She then is calling on Prime Minister Mark Carney to, number one, include this in his next wave of nation-building projects, and number two, and probably more importantly, get rid of the restrictive regulation and legislation that is in place in this country that has done more to knock back the oil industry than incentivize investment in it. Do you have faith that this step by Premier Danielle Smith is going to achieve what she hopes it will? Terry, in Buffalo Pound, what do you think?
Hey, Greg, you touched on it a bit just at like your partial break there. A couple of weeks back when Danielle Smith had that meeting with Carney, she came back, oh, let's give peace a chance, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to know what was discussed in that meeting. Like, does she know the tanker ban's going to be lifted and all that stuff? Or, like you said, is she forcing his hand?
Right. Like, I mean, that could work both ways, Terry, right? Like, she could know that there's the possibility it's being lifted, but she could also know that they have no intention of lifting it, and so this is a way for her to position herself to put them in a corner.
Yep, and then good old BC, being the whacked-out premier he is, like, remember when he was suing when they were going to shut down the oil being shipped to BC?
Yeah.
You know, like, the guy's so hypocritical, it's crazy.
You know,
but anyways,
I agree.
The best thing in the world.
Yeah, Terry, I agree with you. I mean, I've said it before. The more I hear from the BC premier, the more I don't like the fella. At least I don't like his politics. I don't like the way he's treating this notion of a pipeline. I mean, he is being very dismissive to Danielle Smith. Keep in mind, Danielle Smith phoned him ahead of her news conference the other day to give him the heads up. Just so you know, we're holding a news conference. This is what we're doing. In there, I'm going to talk about the importance of consulting with First Nations. Like, she laid it all out. And as soon as it was done, he basically holds a news conference and poo-poos on what she said, basically saying there's a snowball's chance in. Let's go back to the phone lines. 1-877-332-8255. Curtis in Prince Albert, what do you think? Are we going to get this pipeline built?
I sure hope we do. It's nice to see somebody finally calling Mark Carney's bluff and holding his feet to the fire. This stuff needs to get done.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps talking about it, flying all over the world and saying, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And finally, Danielle Smith is standing up to him and saying, let's do it.
Do you think we're going to see it, though?
Well, it's Western Canada and it's the Liberals, so I'm not really holding my breath.
So, you know, it's funny that you say that because I saw a text on the line that said, Evan, don't kid yourself. This all comes down to votes in an election. And whether we like it or not, we have to accept Western Canada doesn't hold the votes. So the Liberals are going to prioritize accordingly. 1-877-332-8255. We'll stay on the topic of pipelines. I'll bring John in from White City. How are you today, my friend?
I'm just ducky.
What do you, no pickleball yet this morning?
No, because I had to make pierogies.
Your life. I'd like your life sometimes, John. So what do you think about the pipeline talk here?
I listened to that whole thing yesterday with the CEO of Enbridge.
Yes.
Him and Danielle Smith basically backed Carney into the corner. Basically backed him into the corner. Like he said, this ban on tankers.
Yeah.
The states sends tankers right past BC virtually every day. He said, that ban is the stupidest thing in the world. We lead the world in making clean oil and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get rid of that and buy from other places? No. Carney has no choice. If he doesn't do it, yeah, who knows?
It's going to be interesting to watch it play out. There's no doubt about that. Okay, I want to grab this call. Sorry, who have I got here? I'm from Calgary. Who's on the line?
I'm Darren.
Darren, sorry, I lost your name. We've only got about a minute left, but I know you're jumping in on this talking about limiting ticket sales for sporting events. What are your thoughts?
Great idea for other markets where they can't fill up their stadium, but it's New York, major city. They don't really notice whether there's more people because they're going to sell right out anyway. So great idea, but I think for New York, wouldn't apply.
Right. So New York's going to pack that stadium regardless is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. 1-877-332-8255. So, I mean, I have said I don't like that. I don't like the notion of restricting ticket sales so that, you know, the games in New York when the Yankees are hosting the Blue Jays, Canadians can't buy tickets. Some people say, no big deal. As long as we do it here, tit for tat, it's fine. Back to the phone lines, back to the text lines, open lines, whatever you would like to chat about here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Elizabeth Taylor, tell me for real, do you think it's forever? Number one, but I never had to. For some people, it's a big day. Taylor Swift's album, The Life of a Showgirl, which, by the way, is released, obviously, a digital version. You can download it. Released on vinyl and released on cassette. Did you know that? She released this album, limited edition amount, but on cassette tape. It's all about the marketing, isn't it? Okay, let's go back to the pipeline discussion. A lot of text coming in. Cameron in Regina, a pipeline to the BC coast shouldn't be that hard. Go through Dawson Creek, which is just over the Alberta border. Follow the LNG route to Kitimat. It's already established. See how easy that would be, Mark Carney? Cameron's got the path laid out for you. I typically shy away from anonymous texts, But I got an anonymous text this morning that I'm not going to shy away from, because the person is being critical of me, saying, yesterday I heard you talking about Heritage Minister Stephen Guilbeault. Why? Why are you bringing him into the conversation? You just like to badmouth Stephen Guilbeault. He has nothing to do with environment anymore. Yeah, that's my point. He still weighs in on this conversation. You're right. He's the Heritage Minister. And he's still weighing in on the pipelines and the environment. He can't help himself. You want to talk climate zealot. Stephen Guilbeault is that. By the way, he's also trying to play this massive game of tic-tac-toe where, you know, he's trying to block a pipeline by saying, we want to designate this 20,000 hectare piece of land as a heritage or a national park, or he's trying to give park designation to parts of Canada that many people point to as strategically picked to block a pipeline. So for my anonymous texter, yes, I did bring him up, and I will continue to bring him up as someone who wants nothing more than to end pipelines in Canada. He can't help himself. 1-877-332-8255. Ruth in Swift Current. Mark Carney's in a corner. Danielle Smith is smart. She's doing this to see where Alberta stands in his eyes. She has him in check. Once she sees his next move, we'll find out her next move. Back to the phone lines. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Paul in Raymore. You got a theory on this, don't you, Paul?
Yes, I do, and I do with my grandkids all the time. She's giving Canada a choice right now. She's saying, if you don't go this way, we might separate, and it'll be easier to build a pipeline straight to the States. Just go right straight through, down right to the States.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really, literally forcing Canada their hand now.
So it's a big part of a bigger picture, bigger strategy is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. She's up to something. And I think she's trying to see how far Canada is willing to go.
Well, it will be interesting to see. I did see an article in the National Post. Stephanie Taylor did an interview with Danielle Smith just in the paper here recently, talking about this exact topic. Alberta Premier Danielle Smith says, hey, if the Prime Minister fails to include the Alberta pipeline pitch in his next list of nation-building projects within the next 7 weeks, she's going to have to intensify her efforts to build north to south. So, Paul, you're not off the mark. Danielle Smith has exactly said those words. Call it a threat, call it an ultimatum, call it a next step, whatever you want to call it. But that article, you can find it in the National Post, but she talks about that with Stephanie Taylor, great reporter, who, by the way, we've had on this program a number of times. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I want to bring Daryl from Saskatoon into the conversation. You got a bit of a head scratcher this morning. What are you looking for, Daryl?
Well, I'd like to find out, Phil, and if you could take the lead on this, is where the heck has our letters to the editor section of the Star Phoenix gone?
Don't have it there at all anymore?
Not anymore. Ever since they dumped Phil Tank and Mr. Madrick, coincidentally, the letters to the editor section disappeared as well.
Is that, you know, that hasn't caught my eye, or it hasn't, caught my attention, but I appreciate you bringing it up because, yeah, I mean, usually you would see that. In fact, there were many, many times I would see people who are regular callers to this show adding a letter to the editor, whether it's to the Star Phoenix or the Leader Post. So, Daryl, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, for sure, Phil.
Appreciate it. Okay, 1-877-332-8255. Have we got time for one more quick call? Oh, yeah, we got time for a couple more here. Okay, let's go to Choiceland, Saskatchewan. I got my friend Tom on the line. Tom, are we building a pipeline?
Good morning. Hey, well, I agree with that one person that said about, yeah, well, you already have an existing line. Just put one beside it. Like, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. But the other thing I have to bring up is that that's a stupid idea to build that one to the Churchill, because if you build it to the Churchill, they need 5 icebreakers or 6 icebreakers there year-round to keep the ice clear. And then what's the chances of an ice thing hitting the side of one of them ships and you got an oil spill there?
Tom, I'm trying to rewind in my mind about 3 months ago. I thought you were in favor of building out that Churchill port.
No, the port, yeah, that's great, but not oil.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, I always appreciate you joining our conversation. Thanks for listening. 1-877-332-8255. Daniel Smith is only doing this. This is Scott in Wolseley. Daniel Smith is only doing this for the Alberta First Movement. And I stand beside her 100%. The only way we're ever going to get a pipeline done is if we do it ourselves and separate, says Scott. Smith is giving Carney the rope to hang himself. By trusting him, when Carney acts like Justin, Carney will show his hand. Jason Regina said, can I just say that I find it hilarious hearing different political leans talking about Mark Carney? The right likes to call Carney just another liberal. The left calls him a conservative dressed as a liberal. LOL. Thanks for that, Jace. Western premiers are taking initiative because the prime minister has abdicated his responsibilities. This is Steve in Saskatoon. Smith will prove Carney is full of talk and ultimately hates the West. Pete and Craven, do you think Alberta has a snowball's chance in, this is what I started saying earlier, didn't finish the phrase, of building that pipeline? Last I heard, Indigenous people were lining up to object it. Good luck with British Columbia. You're right, Pete. There is an Indigenous group of First Nations in BC that are objecting. Danielle Smith, very clear in her remarks earlier this week that she is willing to sit down and have meaningful dialogue, meaningful consultation, work with them in a way that they can profit share from this project. So she's doing everything she can to try and mitigate that challenge. Good luck with the BC Premier. I think she has more chance sitting down with the Indigenous First Nation groups than she does with the BC Premier, to be honest. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go back to the phone line. James from Saskatoon, always appreciate your call in, James. Let's start with pipelines. What do you think?
So there's the consideration for us to run it south and then to the coast through the United States. And let me explain to you that that has already happened with the Saskatchewan representative. a gentleman by the name of Staniworko, originally from Kelleher, owned the company called Petrogas. And Petrogas had the occasion. They sell a lot of propane and hexane products to the Asian marketplace, right? And so it got to the point where they were giving consideration to setting up a port in Kitimat. But they started running into such strong headwinds that they chose a different course. And what they've done is they've gone straight south of Calgary and into Montana, Idaho, and Washington State. And they took over an old Dow Corning port, and now their products go out to the Asian marketplace on a regular basis. And the unique thing about this, Evan, the incredibly unique thing, they never hit one whale in any of their shipments that have left the port. And I make light of this because one of the great concerns, if we were ever to put a port on the west coast of British Columbia, was somehow we were going to be killing whales.
Yeah, well, you can look at the list. There's a list of reasons why people are opposed to this happening. While I've got you, I noticed you were also wanting to chat a bit about the healthcare situation.
Yeah, I'm incredibly disappointed with the NDP. I mean, like, for them to constantly be Debbie Downer on, like, we've had hallway medicine for the longest of times. And to be raining on our healthcare workers like they are, like, it's absolutely, to me, it's disgusting because it's constantly, all we're hearing is negativity, negativity, negativity. Everybody in this country, around the world, is challenged with healthcare, human resources, and that's the reality of it all, right? We've gone through this process of constantly just throwing heaps and heaps of money at it, to satisfy the unions, and it doesn't get us anywhere better, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I just, you know, let people do the best that they can. At times, is it going to be challenged? Sure it is, but there's a lot of complexities as to why this is happening. We've had an incredible growth of population. We've had, you know, we have a challenge just within the personnel of our healthcare regions, and And everybody's trying, and we have an aging demographic as well. So, you know, there's a lot of things to this. And for them to try and make political gain out of this, I find it reprehensible.
1-877-332-8255. One more quick call before we take our last break. Let's grab the call from Ian in Saskatoon. What do you got going today, Ian?
Well, yesterday I took some time to watch the Ethics Commission or a committee from Parliament, and they had the head of Democracy Watch on there talking for an hour, and it came out during there, and maybe you knew this, but I did not, that when Mark Carney identified his conflict of interest, he put down, I can't remember the exact name, but let's say Echo Green, okay, just for choosing a name, but included in that Echo Green are a couple hundred companies. They do not have to be identified. And because of the way the blind trust rules work, he is allowed, and all of them are allowed, to vote on, to partake in anything that affects it. So I just sent you the link onto the Evan Bray Show on Facebook. But it's basically, Shuva Loy Mejumdar, Calgary Heritage Alberta Conservative. Basically, the blind trust is not blind at all. 99% of what Carney is allowed to vote on is in his. It's a sham.
Like in the windshield, basically, you're saying he's able to see it. Now, when you talk about Democracy Watch, we've had co-founder Duff Conacher on this program a number of times. And he actually, the last time we had him on, talked about many of the points, Ian, that you're bringing up, many of the concerns. So I'm guessing that's who you were watching with the parliamentary committee yesterday. I didn't catch yesterday, but we did have a good conversation with Duff. We will be bringing him back on the program, so we'll get an update from him on where things are at with the declaration of conflicts from Mark Carney and the blind trust situation. Thanks for the call. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back, finish up open lines, which gives us time to sweep nicely into Bugs and Hugs here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I've been talking about the fact that BC Premier David Eby not exactly helping Danielle Smith in this effort to get a pipeline built. Someone pointed out that on X, Jason Kenney, former Conservative leader, said David Eby is objectively a much bigger threat to Confederation and the rule of law than Alberta separatists. Goes on to talk. I mean, it's the whole thing that David Eby is, of course, standing in front of lots of different projects. Going to be some interesting times ahead, that's for sure. Back to the topic that we started on the hour, which is the notion that the New York Yankees, who have beat the Red Sox, now play the Blue Jays in the next round of the American League playoffs, have restricted the ability for Canadian ball fans to buy tickets to the home games that are happening in New York. Basically, through Ticketmaster, if you want to go and buy tickets to the game in New York, you have to be from New York or one of the three surrounding states. Canadians can't. If you try and buy tickets, basically it'll be canceled. You'll be refunded money if you actually get through with the transaction. I don't like this. I think it's for so many reasons, it flies in the face of what sports is all about. I know there's a few people on the text line this morning that have said, Evan, come on, this is a great way to get home fans in the stadium. Isn't that what you always want? Well, I don't know. Brian in Saskatoon with a text here that says, restricting ticket sales to local fans is nothing short of stupid. As someone in the tourism, sports, and entertainment industry for 30 years, the objective has always been to host, attract, and create events that generate economic activity for your community. Gas, shopping, hotels, restaurants, and other operations receive minimum, or I should say large benefit, from allowing travelers from outside the city, basically, to come into that city. Brian, I think your point is well taken. I think about how many times have I gone, Winnipeg often is where I'll head to watch a Jets game when they're playing the New York Islanders. Proudly throw my New York Islander jersey on, drive to Winnipeg, sit in the stadium, and annoy all of the Jet fans around me. But while I'm there, gassing up the car, staying at a hotel, eating at restaurants, buying a drink at the stadium. I mean, that's the thing. You're spending money. And so to me, that limiting is, yes, you're giving your home fans an opportunity. I think if the objective truly is to prevent the mass reselling of tickets, because I've seen some reports that that's what this is aimed to do, prevent companies from buying 200 tickets in a block and then resell them for inflated prices, then put a maximum on the number of tickets that you can buy. But don't restrict the ability for a couple of people who are from Saskatchewan that might want to take a flight to New York and while they're there watch a Blue Jays game. Seems crazy to me. I'm bugged. And that's a good lead into the next hour on this radio station. Bugs and Hugs every Friday at 10 o'clock. And the phone lines and the text lines stay open for you. Bugs and Hugs is next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.